Richard Murdoch resigns. The Indiana gay marriage battle reaches the federal appeals court. Was it a one-sided hearing? The mayor of Kokomo taking into custody a Democratic candidate questions the governor's ethics and Evan Bayh's 2016 deliberation. That plus security gates at the governor's residence and more on Indiana Week in Review for the week ending August 29, 2014.
Programming is made possible by Ice Miller. Ice Miller, with a 100-year tradition of learning what is important to clients and strategizing with them toward a common goal. Today, Ice Miller continues its commitment to help clients build, grow, and protect their interests. More at icemiller.com.
AT&T, working to enhance connectivity in Indiana by investing in communication networks. Dedicated to helping Hoosier businesses grow and consumers succeed both at home and at work. AT&T. Rethink possible.
This week, State Treasurer Richard Murdoch resigned. He left office more than 4 months before the end of his second term. Richard Murdoch submitted his resignation to the governor just a day ahead of time. It came as a complete surprise to Mike Pence, who must now pick a replacement. Murdoch cited changes in a state retirement plan that would reduce his benefits if he stayed in office past August 31st. It's a move that leaves a sour taste in the mouths of a number of taxpayers who criticized Murdoch on Twitter. His legacy, however, will forever be tied to his defeat of Richard Lugar in the 2012 GOP primary for U.S. Senate. That led to his own defeat by Democrat Joe Donnelly in November of that year. Is Richard Murdoch thumbing his nose at taxpayers? It's the first question for our Indiana Week in Review panel. Democrat Ann Delaney, Republican Mike McDaniel, John Schwanes, the host of Indiana Lawmakers, and John Ketzenberger, president of the Indiana Fiscal Policy Institute. I'm Wish TV Statehouse reporter Jim Shella. Ann Delaney, what do you make of that?
You know, I think when Republicans want to elect people to statewide office, they should just put in, fill in the blank instead of anybody's name. I mean, we've lost the auditor, the treasurer, the secretary of state. It just seems they can't elect anybody for a full term. I don't know what the pension what the pension benefits to him for leaving early are. They better be substantial to justify not serving out his term.
Well,
the
even
way
if they are substantial, leaving an elected office is
well, you had Tim Berry leaving an elected office to become state chairman, and nobody raised a fuss about that. You know, I frankly think if you're worried about hurting the taxpayers, he tried to hurt the taxpayers a lot more with his attack on the GM bankruptcy than this is going to do. And frankly, I'm glad he's gone.
What do Republicans think?
Well, I mean, it's all happened so fast. I didn't hear about this until this afternoon, so it's kind of hard to digest. No, he didn't call me before. I'm not on his Christmas card list. Yeah. The way I talked about
but
him.
Isn't
the last
that part of isn't that part of the problem though? Since the 2012 election, well, he doesn't really
look,
fit in.
Look,
does
I
he?
Believe he should have finished his term. I think that's what he should have done. But you know, his decision's his decision. The only surprise is that I'm surprised at this point. You know, there's plenty of things to say about this, and I'm biting through my lip as we sit here right now.
Okay. I mean,
don't bleed on your shirt.
Yeah, thank you.
The message here is that he's stepping down for personal financial benefit.
That is the message. And it makes me think of a question. I lose track of time, but say a year or two ago, same group, you posed the question, does Richard Murdoch have any political ambitions beyond his current office? And I probably hemmed and hawed, but I'm prepared now to answer your question. Clearly, in light of this announcement, the answer is no, because
my God, a definitive statement by you, John. I'm not sure
I waited until the facts were all
Mark
in.
Yes.
Clearly, this is the action of someone who doesn't apparently intend to seek elective office again, because it does leave, I would think, a bad taste in one's mouth, especially for someone who has been a champion of you know, let's say he has criticized those that have been perceived to be at the public trough And if it's for, I don't know what the amount of money involved here is between finishing one's term to which you were elected versus leaving now and getting
not enough to change his lifestyle in retirement,
and probably not enough then to want to tarnish a reputation. So it tells me he's done with elective politics.
Okay, so the governor is going to appoint somebody temporarily. Then he will appoint somebody to fill out the last 4 months or so of the term. One of the possibilities is Kelly Mitchell, who's the GOP nominee for state treasurer, right, who worked in the office but has left the office to campaign. Does that make sense?
You know, I don't think it makes sense from a political perspective. She's already served in the office, so she can still claim the experience of working in the office. And if she goes in and takes over, then that takes her off the campaign trail full time. I just think that she's better off to try to win the seat outright and not get gummed up in the transition here, because I don't think it benefits her politically. I do want to make one point about the pensions, though, and I think all the points that have been made here are right on. But I think Richard Murdoch is making a decision that a lot of state employees are making, too, because of changes in the way the pension law has gone for public employees. A lot of them are resigning because they find it's more beneficial to take the retirement now than to wait until after those changes are made.
Hundreds of state employees are resigning because there's a 2% difference. But the difference is he's an elected official and a statewide elected official.
Point.
And that's not the same thing. And I'm surprised.
Right.
I guess I go back. I'm not surprised, I guess.
What you're saying is this is not what you expect when you vote for somebody.
No, that's not what I expect.
He gave a 4-year commitment.
We expect him to serve the term.
Look, on this kind of thing, for this reason, I don't expect this from a state elected official. If you have a chance to do something else you've always wanted to do, then that's okay. But this is purely a financial thing. And to leave the governor 24 hours notice on something like this, that's not exactly what I call team play.
Well, that was a good tap dance to exempt Tim Berry's throwing
No, because
throwing
I believe
over,
if he had something
you
else
always
he
wanted
to
be state chairman.
A lot of people do.
Yeah? They obviously don't know the job.
You two know.
Yeah, you have two people.
You did at one point. You did at one point.
I wanted to at one point.
I never wanted to.
A 3-judge panel in Chicago heard arguments this week in the state government appeal to the ruling that legalized gay marriage in Indiana. Both sides were given 20 minutes to present their cases, and the judges had more questions for State Solicitor General Thomas Fisher than they did for attorneys representing the plaintiffs. The impact of gay marriage on children was a key topic. Plaintiff Stephen Stolen.
It was almost as if they were inside, you know, our child's head, as she, you know, wants to be treated just like any other kid and her family treated just like any other family.
Mike McDaniel, the 3-judge panel was 2 Democrats and 1 Republican. Does that tell you anything?
Well, no, it doesn't tell me anything. When you're talking about 20 minutes, this is the only chance that the attorneys have to address the judges directly and the judges asking questions directly. I'm told by a lot of attorneys that, you know, the judges hone in on the weaknesses of your case because they only have 20 minutes. They don't concentrate on what your strengths are. So you can always expect that kind of thing. But this one seemed to be pretty lopsided to me going in. But, again, I'm told over and over again, please don't make that judgment because you can't because you don't really know.
Yeah,
and so we'll find out in 2 months or so what the answer is.
For general purposes, you can. But a lot of people who witnessed this hearing thought...
Well, all you have to do is ask yourself whether at the end of that hearing you'd rather be Ken Falk or Tom Fisher. And I think the answer's easy there. You'd rather be Ken Falk. And I'd be frankly surprised if it's not a 3-0 decision in favor of the plaintiffs.
To legalize gay marriage.
But that doesn't mean that the Attorney General with his political agenda won't ask for an en banc hearing and then go all the way to the Supreme Court, further wasting time, money, and effort.
Well, it's going to go to
the Supreme Court.
Well, Indiana's case may or may not go to the Supreme Court. I do think that based on, and this is, you're right, it's a fool's errand, but having listened to those arguments and having listened to a lot of other arguments in an appeals court setting, I've never heard anything more one-sided than that. Solicitor General Fisher barely got his name out and the phrase "may it please the court" before he started getting questions from Judge Posner, who's the Republican on that panel and has been on there for 30 plus years. So, you know, it may go to the Supreme Court, it may be one of them, but there are a couple of cases ahead of it. Utah and Virginia are both further along in the process than Indiana is.
Yeah, and these are the same three judges who heard the case involving the women from northern Indiana, where one of the women is ill, and so they said their marriage needed to be recognized. That's got to be an indicator, isn't it?
I would think that would be yet another tea leaf that we could read. You know, it's always dangerous when you start saying, in most every story about any appellate court decision talks about so-and-so judge from such-and-such circuit was appointed by, and sometimes there's a temptation to read into it. But as John pointed out, in this case, if my read of the transcripts or the reporting I saw out of the hearing is correct, the harshest critic of the state's position was the Reagan appointee, and he employed, again, unless I misread this, terms such as absurd and ridiculous.
Yeah,
there's not much left to interpretation when you use words like that, it seems.
Should get a ruling in a matter of weeks, a month or so. All right. Kokomo Mayor Greg Goodnight is considering legal action against a Howard County judge. Judge William Menges ordered the sheriff to take Mayor Goodnight into custody this week for contempt of court. His order says Goodnight intentionally blocked an entrance to the courthouse during construction of the Industrial Heritage Trail. The mayor is a Democrat and the judge is a Republican.
I'd heard rumblings that he was not a proponent of the project itself. And that's what's disheartening. I mean, a simple phone call, an email, a text message, they all have my cell phone number, could have resolved this issue.
And that's Mayor Goodnight. Mike McDaniel, let's go to John Katzenberger. Did the judge abuse his authority?
I think the Judicial Qualifications Commission is going to get an opportunity to answer that.
They haven't yet.
No, because somebody's got to bring that case to them.
I'm guessing someone will. I guess I can guess who it might be.
I'm guessing someone will, and I'm guessing they'll get that opportunity to say so. You know, I'm not sitting in their shoes, but it looks to me as just an observer that the mayor is correct. If the judge didn't like that the area was blocked, he could have called and asked somebody to move. It certainly sounds like he was upset and angry. You don't want your judges to be upset and angry and considering cases. And he's actually hauled other people, including a reporter, in and threatened them or charged them with contempt in the past. So this is not an isolated incident.
Yeah, he found a woman in contempt because she had a noisy baby. He also issued a court order instructing the county auditor to buy him the copy machine he wanted. Not the kind of record you want to create as a judge.
No, and seeing as I won't be in Howard County in the immediate future, I'm willing to echo what John said. This seems, again, I wasn't there, but based on the reporting, it sounds as if the mayor's argument here is sound, that there were lots of other grown-up ways to deal with this as opposed to sending the law to go and bring someone into custody and hold them for contempt.
Well, the mayor says it may have been opposition to this trail being built. The other possible explanation, Greg Goodnight's being mentioned for statewide office. The judge used to be a county Republican chairman. Could it be that they're trying to take him down a notch here politically?
Well, that could be. That's totally possible. I was with John in his arguments till he used the reporter example. And I have to rethink where I am on this. But I like the mayor's answer. Maybe the judge didn't like the project. I think the answer is we need to build another bypass around the other side of Kokomo so everybody can move around without running into each other.
Well, I did. I mean, the judge wanted the driveway clear by Friday, and he took the mayor into custody on Tuesday. It's hard to find reason in this.
It's clearly political. Mayor Goodnight has done an excellent job as mayor of Kokomo, and he's been able to bring jobs in there. It's moving the city forward, and clearly the ex-Republican chairman who's now sitting on the bench doesn't like that. But you're right. When you're looking for judicial demeanor, you want someone that's cool and considered and non-partial or impartial. Yeah. That's the word I was looking for. Thank you, John. Impartial. And those characteristics seem to be lacking in that particular judge.
And it seems that the judge was wearing his old hat of that of political party chief and was trying to clip the wings or take a shot at a future statewide candidate. This was a backfire because we're now talking about someone who's enjoying perhaps some name ID in the form of Greg Goodnight that he didn't have before, and he seems, I think, the consensus is, was the victim of political shenanigans.
I talked to a Republican from Kokomo today who thinks that maybe the mayor provoked this, but says the mayor's winning the public relations battle.
Yeah, the judge better hope he's not on the ballot this time.
Yeah, I don't know if that's the case or not. The Democratic candidate for state auditor leveled a serious charge against the governor this week. Michael Clater stood outside the state house to say that, quote, ethics have left the building. He pointed to scandals involving State Representative Eric Turner, former state school superintendent Tony Bennett, and former NDOT chief of staff Troy Woodruff.
I firmly believe when one party has supermajorities in the legislature and supermajorities in the executive branch as well, that those officials become less accountable to the people and more accountable to the political party system.
Ethics is a top priority of Governor Pence and always has been.
State GOP Chairman Tim Berry there, John Schwanis, is that over the top, Clater's remark that ethics has left the building?
It might be a little hyperbole, but I don't think any candidate goes wrong by advocating more transparency and more stringent ethics controls. We have had questionable conduct, even if it has not resulted in criminal prosecution. There has been ample misjudgment.
Well, we mentioned the case of Eric Turner, and just today, Speaker Bosma has announced that he's going to remove him from his leadership post because of what he called an irreconcilable
conflict
of interest.
Right, and not only that, but he promised that there would be a very comprehensive ethics reform package that he, as Speaker, would promote in the coming session. So to me, it sounds as if this was a well-timed shot by the Democratic candidate for this office.
Well, it also seems to me that Democrats need a message, and there are a lot of them who seem to be drifting toward the ethics message this year.
I think that that's probably true, and I think that they see this as a hold that they can take and win some, win the opinion battle with it. And I agree with what John said, but he's running for auditor. And so it does seem a little interesting that the candidate for auditor is the one making the
The case he makes is that the auditor is the one who operates the state transparency portal,
and he would be a statewide elected official. And it seems to me we have the right to expect the highest ethics of any statewide elected official.
I'm not saying that.
This isn't the sum total of the litany either. Remember the economic development initiative that the governor put in place for the public-private partnership, where they gave themselves their own contract, or in FSSA, where you have somebody making better than $1 million a year. Maybe her clock doesn't have 24 hours in it like the rest of us. So there are reasons to think.
Talking about a consultant, right?
Whatever. But we're talking about situations that have gone on repeatedly, and you have a supposed person who's going to investigate these, who drags his heels and then goes, oh, it's terrible, it should never happen again, but there's no violation.
Well I think
what they do.
You're talking about the Inspector General.
I am. And
Republicans are suggesting that Michael Clater wants to be Inspector General.
Well, yeah. And the response Tim Berry gave, saying it's outside the scope of the duties, come on. What was it that Mitch Daniels said? That every garden needs to be weeded every 16 years? It's been 28 years since we've had a Democratic auditor, and we need a lot of weeding done.
I just want to make sure she was done.
Thank you, Michael.
I think so. Are Republicans vulnerable on ethics questions?
What's going on here is we're 63 days out from the election. There aren't 5,000 people in Indiana who know Mr. Craner at all.
Clater.
Well, that's my point.
I knew that.
And,
And
there aren't 5,000 people who know he is, so you got to do some shot across the bow. This has nothing to do with the auditor's office. And so he's doing everything he can to shock for shock value to try to generate some conversation, and he got it done because we're talking about it in this show.
Instead
of his 15 minutes of fame, he's got 3 minutes of fame.
He's
going to get beat on election day like a barred mule.
The ethics issue is there.
If statewide candidates stuck only limited
and
to
you're
what?
You're the one that always complained about that.
No, well, I could show you examples. Secretary of State candidates who have education
and
reform
you
programs.
Complained about that. I didn't hear you complain about that.
I'm not going to complain about this because ethics, let me strike up the corny music. Ethics is every office holders' responsibility. And I don't fault anybody for
channeling ethics. They don't have an answer to it.
But he's using the ethics pitch to say that we need a Democrat. We need, we need somebody at a statewide office.
That was the Mitch Daniels mantra. That was the Mitch Daniels chorus.
You think they're
going to
win any of these state offices? No.
That was the Mitch Daniels chorus.
I think it's unlikely. I think it's unlikely. Indiana Democrats gathered in French Lick this week for what amounts to an unofficial state convention, and Evan Bayh wasn't there. That's despite the fact that Bayh is considering a run for governor in 2016. When he disclosed his consideration last month, it made national news. But in a public radio interview, the former governor and former senator made it clear he is leaning against a run.
While I did think that it was appropriate to consider it, given that people were asking, I have said that I think for a variety of reasons it's unlikely.
I can figure out how it would make sense for the people of Indiana. I can't see how it makes sense for him.
And that's Bayh friend and former aide Bill Morrow. Mike McDaniel, Bayh promises a decision in a week or two. Should we hold our breaths?
I am. I can't wait to hear what he's going to do. I mean, I take him at his word that he hadn't decided yet.
He said it's unlikely. He said it's
come on. He's not going to run for governor again. Why would he put himself on the line and do that at this point in his career?
For the opportunity to
for the money and for the opportunity to try to
get something done with super majorities of Republicans in the General Assembly.
I'll buy you dinner if he doesn't.
If he runs.
You're saying he's not going
to. I think you're safe.
Well, nobody knows him better than you do.
Oh, I don't think that's true. I know Susan brother does.
So why is he going through this exercise?
Because he can. And, you know, it leaves a little mystery out there in the midst of all of this, and it keeps the Democrat party in the mix when everything has been about the Republicans all along. So, you know, why not if you can?
So if you're John Gregg or Barron Hill
Tom McDermott.
I'm not saying
if you're a Democrat looking at running,
it's really helping them.
It's not helping them, but it's keeping
they
it's
were
keeping
in French Lick.
They were all in French.
Exactly.
does this hurt folks who are serious about 2016?
No, I don't think.
It is a ways off,
I don't think
so. Okay, does it hurt Democratic candidates in 2014?
No, it stirs the pot. You know, it's the same thing when, in a way, when Mitch Daniels was, you know, not ruling out a presidential bid, and we said, and I think it was right then and it's right now, why not be relevant to a discussion and help shape it, even if you're not going to be the standard bearer? You know, it's nice to have people calling you, and it's nice to be able to offer your input. So I can't fault him for that, but I'd be shocked if he did it. But, you know, when you're looking at an empty nest and the kids are going off to college, we're all prone to kind of rash, crazy behavior.
Find a hobby.
At that point, so maybe this is that.
Time now for viewer feedback. Each week we pose an unscientific online poll question in conjunction with our Ice Miller email and text alerts. This week's question is, should Evan Bayh run for governor? Your choices are A, yes, B, no, or C, it's up to him. Last week's question was, which is a better idea, the Mounds Greenway or the Mounds Lake Reservoir? We had 2,700 responses. 56% said Greenway, 35% said Reservoir, 9% said leave well enough alone. If you'd like to take part in the poll, go to WFYI.org/IWIR and look for the poll. A security upgrade is coming to the governor's residence. New pillars and wrought iron gates will soon block the entrances from Meridian Street and 46th Street. The Meridian Street Preservation Commission recently gave its approval for the improvements that were requested by the Pence family because they say a lot of cars drive on the property unexpectedly. Ann Delaney, does that make sense?
Oh, I think it makes sense. Since we finally have a governor living there, they probably do need more security.
There are other residences on Meridian Street that have gates. Right?
Look, there should have been security around the governor's residence ever since it's been moved there. We're one of the few governor's residences or mansions, as they're called in a lot of other states, that doesn't have a lot of security around it. And in this day and age, it only makes sense. And in this case, the state police are recommending it, and it's long overdue, and I'm glad they're doing it. And I'm told that they're going to raise private funds to do it. So,
you know, actually, though, I think there's a big misunderstanding about what's motivating this. It's not to keep people out, but with this pension change, You can, if you can keep people in the governor's office without leaving the term prematurely, it's to keep them on the property.
I don't think he qualifies.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, okay. Might it keep Mike Pence from running for president?
the gates?
Yeah.
Only if they stick closed.
Only if they're pearl.
Are they using the birdcage wrought iron to...
That would be a useful expenditure of that wrought iron.
It'd be nice if the gates match the birdcage. That's Indiana Week in Review for this week. Our panel is Democrat Ann Delaney, Republican Mike McDaniel, John Schwannis of Indiana Lawmakers, and John Ketzenberger of the Indiana Fiscal Policy Institute. If you'd like a podcast of this program, you can find it at WFYI.org/IWIR. Starting Monday, you can stream it or get it on demand from Xfinity or Bright House Networks. I'm Jim Shello of Wish TV. We'll see you again next week.
Programming is made possible by Ice Miller. Ice Miller, with a 100-year tradition of learning what is important to clients and strategizing with them toward a common goal. Today, Ice Miller continues its commitment to help clients build, grow, and protect their interests. More at icemiller.com.
AT&T, working to enhance connectivity in Indiana by investing in communication networks. Dedicated to helping Hoosier businesses grow and consumers succeed both at home and at work. AT&T. Rethink possible.